So this Sunday, Palm Sunday, and Palm Sunday is the beginning of the Passion Week, as it's called. This is when Jesus triumphantly entered Jerusalem, and then by the end of the week, he was crucified. So we'll begin our study with John 12, 12 through 15. And the Word of God says in John 12, 12, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on a donkey's colt. And so that is setting the stage. And now we're going to discuss this and go to our outline. But there's an ancient hymn that says, All glory, laud, and honor to thee, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring. The people of the Hebrews with palms before thee went, our prayers and praise and anthems before thee we present. And so it was on Palm Sunday that the people came with their palm branches to welcome the Messiah to Jerusalem. And we see, first of all, that the journey begins. The Passover lamb is set aside. And our journey begins in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus. In chapter 12 and verse 3. And the Bible says in Exodus 12, 3, Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Now the tenth month was the month of Nisan, and the Passover lamb, which was a type of Jesus Christ, was to be set aside on the tenth day of Nisan. And then Exodus 12 and verse 6 says, And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. So they were to keep it until the 14th of Nisan, and then kill the Passover lamb in the evening. And again, the Passover lamb was a type of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. So Jesus entered Jerusalem on the 10th of Nisan. Jesus entered Jerusalem on the very day that the Passover lambs were being set aside. Sir Robert Anderson affixed the date of the 10th of Nisan as Sunday, April 6th, A.D. 32. And so Robert Anderson passed away about 100 years ago. And he fixed this date using a very interesting system based on a prophecy in the book of Daniel that we'll discuss in a moment. Sir Robert Anderson was a theologian. He was also a detective. He had worked for Scotland Yard. And so he came up with this dating system. But this is a Julian calendar, which would have been the calendar that they used in A.D. 32. And as you can see, the 6th fell on a Sunday. So if Jesus entered on the 6th of April, A.D. 32, he would have been crucified there towards the end of the week, probably on Friday the 11th. So now that we've seen the beginning of the journey, we'll look at some fulfilled prophecies. And that leads us to our second point, prophecy is fulfilled. The Old Testament predicted Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And we'll look first of all at the prophecy of the colt. Mark 11:7, And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And this prophecy comes from Zechariah 9:9, which says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon a donkey and upon a colt, the foal of a donkey. So we see that this is prophesied. It's interesting, in Sunday school we've been studying these minor prophets, and a lot of the prophecies of Jesus Christ were coming from these prophets. And so we've been studying this the last several weeks. The second prophecy we'll look at is Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy in Daniel 9, 24 through 27. And this is the prophecy that Sir Robert Anderson used to theorize about the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem. Daniel 9:26, the first part of the verse says, "And after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself." So this prophecy predicts Jesus or the Messiah's death for the nation of Israel and also for the world. He will be cut off from the land of the living, but not for himself. So he died for the sins of the world, for the sins of Israel. Now, in this prophecy, each day of the week represents a year. We know that by basic logic. And also, we'll see that as we read. But if you have a 7-day week, then that symbolizes 7 years. 7 weeks could symbolize 49 years, and so on. So here's the prophecy in verse 25. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times." Now, this prophecy, or rather this commandment to restore and build Jerusalem, is a fixed date in history. This is a known date. Everybody knows about this date historically. And that date is 445 B.C. in the month of Nisan, the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, 445 B.C. So there were 483 years from this commandment to when the Messiah was cut off. Now we get this from taking the 7 weeks and 62 weeks of the prophecy. 7 weeks equals 49 years. 62 weeks equals 62 weeks of years, or 434 years. So if we add 49 years to 434 years, we come up with 483 years. Now we know that these cannot have just been regular days and regular weeks, because that's not logical. If they were regular days and regular weeks, then you would have had 445 B.C., the command to restore and rebuild the temple, and then you would have had several weeks, and then the Messiah was supposed to come. But that didn't happen. But if we have 483 years, if they're weeks of years, 483 years puts us around the time frame when Jesus actually came. So that's just how we know that these represented weeks of years. 483 years from this command to when the Messiah was cut off. Sir Robert Anderson calculated the end of the 69th week to fall on Palm Sunday, just before the Lord's crucifixion, that according to the King James Study Bible. So this is Clarence Larkin's chart on Daniel's 70 weeks, and we probably can't see it very well. But if you'll notice on the left side, the prophecy starts in 445 B.C., and there are the first 7 weeks, or 49 years, and then the final 62 weeks, or 434 years, then the cross. And Larkin places the crucifixion in A.D. 30. That's what it says under the cross. It's really small there. You can print these charts out online if you'd like to look at them, but AD 30, but we think Now, we's a royal we. I think that Sir Robert Anderson's AD 32 is better, because Anderson counted using days, not just years, and he calculated the days in a year based on the days in a prophetic year, which are 360 days rather than 365 days. So he actually went back to 445 BC to the day when that command went forth, and then he calculated it was prophecy, so a prophetic year has 360 days in it. So he counted days and came up with this time frame. But there's different opinions on it. Now, if we go back to Palm Sunday in Jerusalem, Mark 11:8, and many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And going back to the Gospel of John in verse 12, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took palm branches or branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Smith's Bible Dictionary says that palm branches were used by the Jews in token of victory and peace. And Revelation 7, verses 9 through 12, the Bible says, After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. So palm branches symbolizing victory and peace. So we've seen that the journey begins. The Passover lamb is set aside. The prophecy is fulfilled. The Old Testament predicted Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And third, we see that salvation is requested. The Jews expected Jesus to save them from the Romans. The Jews expected Jesus to save them from the Romans. Mark 11:9, And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, Hosanna means save now. Save now. And that's what the people wanted. They wanted Jesus to save them now from the Romans. That's what they expected him to do. You see what they're saying. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Save now. Hosanna in the highest. And so they thought Jesus was coming to establish his kingdom now. They thought he was going to save them from the Roman occupiers. And this expression came from Psalm 118, verses 25 through 26. The Jews were looking for salvation now. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. So they were expecting the Messiah to come and save them now and to bring prosperity to their nation. They were expecting him to overthrow the Romans and establish a great Jewish kingdom that would bring prosperity and peace and all these things. But that's not what Jesus did. They expected the Messiah to save them from the Romans. They never expected the Messiah to die for their sins. It was just a totally unexpected thing. Matthew 16:21, it's interesting that even though Jesus told his disciples this was going to happen, they didn't believe him. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. So the disciples didn't believe him. It was totally unexpected to them that Jesus would die on the cross. That's why they were so surprised when he rose from the dead. And when he was crucified. Zechariah tells us that the Messiah has salvation. He didn't have what they were looking for. They wanted immediate salvation from the Romans, but Jesus Christ had salvation for their souls. But that's not what they wanted. Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon the colt, the foal of an ass." That's for all you King James purists there. I censored that in the other verses, but at any rate, he came having salvation. But he wasn't the kind of salvation they wanted. Mark 11:11. So Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. So Jesus did some things in between them, but he comes in on Sunday, which was the first day of their week, and it was a work day. Saturday was the Sabbath. And at the end of the day, when eventide was come, he looks around the temple. And what are they expecting? They're expecting him to set up his kingdom. Now we're going to go to war. We're going to overthrow the Romans. We're going to set up the kingdom. And instead, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. He said, "Come on, boys, let's go to the house." So he hasn't done what they expected him to do. And he's not going to do what they expect him to do. And by the end of the week, they will crucify him. And the disciples will be in utter shock and despair. And so we don't see in Jesus and when he came the first time what people expected, but we see what we needed. A lot of times we don't get what we expect, but we get what we need. And so what the disciples needed was Jesus to die and rise from the dead. That's what we all needed, because that gave us salvation. That purchased our salvation on the cross, that Jesus died for our sins and was buried and rose from the dead. That's what we needed, but that's not what the people expected. That's not what they wanted. And a lot of times we are like children. You know, children want things that they don't really need. My kids were down at the relatives this past week at spring break, and they tried to give them another puppy. And my daughter called, "Please, Daddy, may I have a puppy?" And I hard-heartedly said no. No. And April said, "Thank you for being the bad guy this time." But children want things that they don't need. And so the Jews wanted a Messiah to overthrow the Romans and set up a kingdom. That's not what they needed. What they needed, they wanted immediate salvation, but what they needed was Jesus to die on the cross for their sins. That's what we all needed. And so as we head into this Easter week, this Passion Week, then the week turns very sad as Jesus is nailed to the cross towards the end of the week. That was the sad part of the week. But Sunday, next Sunday, we will celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead. He entered Jerusalem victoriously, and the same people that said, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord," by the end of the week, they're saying, "Crucify him. Crucify him," because he wasn't what they wanted. He wasn't what they expected. But some of those same people that shouted, "Crucify him," on the day of Pentecost, then in the book of Acts, they got saved. And so, that's a beautiful thing. It's beautiful how God can take these the worst cases you can think of and can save those people. And so, we praise the Lord that he has saved us, and we praise the Lord that on Sunday we will celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Things don't always work out the way we expect, but God gives us what we need. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for letting us be in your house, and I do pray that you will help us to focus on you this week and your Lord Jesus Christ, on your crucifixion, your death on the cross, and on your resurrection from the dead. And I pray that we will just focus on you during this very special time of year. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray if anyone's not saved, that you will save their souls today, that they would turn to you in faith and believe in you as their crucified, buried, and risen Savior. And we pray if we have loved ones that don't know you, that they would come to know you during this Easter season. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we'll stand and sing a verse of amazing...